broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
My feelings on homosexuality
are... He said, pop my tires and...
I think that it's an important thing to do because we need to...
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for calling DirecTV.
My name is...
Bleeping retarded.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we take you through the looking glass every night and give you a little piece of that truth. And if you want to be a part of the strong right arm of this show, just go to philhendryshow.com, pick up a backstage pass, and get with it, man, okay? Backstage pass. Do we give this thing away? Do we give the archives? No, we don't give it away. No, no. Is this some kind of social network, Facebook thing? No, man, we're not giving it away. No, you're right. It's a backstage pass. It's a subscription. But let me tell you what. This is the largest repository of a great radio show anywhere in the history of man on this planet. We are proud of the radio shows that we've done. Most radio shows don't archive their shows because they're not proud. You can't listen. You can't go back and listen to a guy's show from 1999 and go, oh, that was a really great show you did in 1999. You can with our show. Watch our video on demand. Watch our live video casts. Listen to our podcasts. This is a religion, baby. PhilHendryShow.com. Backstage pass. We'll see you, you know, later. Okay, thanks. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Phil Hendry here. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with me here. It is our news hour. And every night we go through our news to see what is up, what am up, what am going on, you know. And the first thing that I saw here, you guys, now you guys are always telling me, why is it that you're always with the history and the Nazi? You see these guys, you call it what, the Hitler Channel?
Yeah, everybody call it the Hitler Channel. They call that because of the show of Hitler.
Well, I watch the Hitler Channel, which is the history channel for these smartasses here. And I watch, not only do I watch television, I read a lot. And I'm one of those guys who keeps... quite a bit in terms of the printed word, the historical record, quite a bit on World War II and that, you know, that period of history. And it's a damn good thing because if there weren't guys like me around, then guys like this guy, Rich Iott, who is a Ohio Republican running for the United States Congress, this jackass would be able to get away with the stuff he's talking. Now, this got nothing to do with him being a Republican. Got nothing at all to do with it. I'm sorry that he's a Republican. I don't think it reflects well on Republicans. I don't think Republicans are Nazis any more than I think Democrats are commies. It just so happens this dumbass. Now, here's a guy who dresses up in a Waffen-SS. And in a moment, I'll tell you what all of this stuff means. He dresses up in a Waffen-SS German Nazi uniform. And he does so because he is a part of historical reenactments. All right. Maybe. Now, he's a Tea Party back candidate. I'm not casting aspersions on the Tea Party. Anybody could make this mistake. I would say to the Tea Party, get this guy to knock this stuff off. He's challenging incumbent Democrat Mary Kaptur, or Kaput. Anyway, he belonged to this Waffen-SS group between 2003 and 2007. It's called the Waffen-SS Viking, according to The Atlantic. It's purely historical interest in World War II, he said. He said of the group that recreates the battles of the 5th SS Panzer Division Viking, which fought on the Eastern Front. Iott, who's a military reservist, added, I've always been fascinated. Now listen to this guy. I've always been fascinated by the fact that here was a relatively small country that, from a strictly military point of view, accomplished incredible things. I mean, they took over most of Europe and Russia, and it really took the combined effort of the free world to defeat them. From a purely historical military point of view, that's incredible. Now, there's so much wrong with what he just said, but let's just take for the moment that he knows what he's talking about, which he doesn't, but let's just say he does. He never once brings up in this little soliloquy the fact that as a member of the Waffen-SS, the Viking Panzer Division, he is being, you know, he's recreating, you know, a group, an organization that was a criminal organization. They murdered civilians. The Waffen-SS. Now, I'm not just talking about the SS in Germany. The Waffen-SS was a part of the action groups. Those guys went in behind the lines when they got pulled out of the line because they considered themselves to be just another military unit. And this is what a lot of the scum that used to be in these groups will tell you. Oh, well, I was Waffen-SS. That means I was a soldier. I wasn't one of the guys in the rear killing civilians. Yeah, bull crap. These guys went into towns in Italy. They went into towns in Russia. And they murdered hundreds of people with machine guns. Gave a hand to these action groups that would come in and murder civilians and throw them into the pits. That's what this guy, Rich Iott, is a part of recreating. In the news report here, the Viking troops were involved in the Hungarian Jewish death marches. The Viking troops were involved in butchering Russians, Poles. The Waffen-SS were involved in butchering Italian civilians. They were not a group to be a part of with any pride at all. In fact, there isn't anything about the German military you could be proud of. Countering criticism from a House GOP leader, Iott said Monday that he did nothing wrong by wearing a Nazi uniform while participating in World War II reenactments. Probably not, so long as you participated in the reenactment of the murdering of civilians. That's what the Waffen-SS did. Now, if you're too stupid to understand that, and here's a guy that was doing this from 2003 to 2007. Now, anybody that tells you that what they did was pretty incredible obviously doesn't know a whole lot about the record. They don't know a lot about the history, and they don't know a lot about the politics. They don't really know a lot about anything. But that's okay. You're allowed to be stupid. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being stupid, but nobody can sit there and tell you that they put on a Waffen-SS uniform and they didn't know what that meant vis-a-vis war crimes. There's no way that a guy can tell you that with a straight face. You know, you can say, boy, that German army, man, there's something else. Yeah, okay, sure, whatever you think. And you're wearing a SS, that lightning bolt thing, huh? What's that about? Oh, that's just a military unit, and they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything wrong. At the end of the war, the Allies took every scumbag wearing a uniform with the lightning bolts. They took them and put them in a separate cage. They arrested anybody in the SS. They grabbed every last one of them. Every one of them. Every single one. And they had them take off if they thought they were masquerading or trying to hide. They would have them take off their jackets and their shirts because the SS would tattoo their blood type under their right arms. So if you ask a guy, were you in the SS? And he's, no, and you suspected maybe he was, you have him take off his shirt and you see under his right arm, under the armpit there, the tattoo of his blood type. That's how you knew he was in the SS. They took all of these guys, they put them in separate cages, and they had to vet them separately. Were they criminals? Did they participate in the murder of civilians? Did they participate in any kind of war crime at all? They're in the SS. We know they're criminals to begin with, being in that organization. It's a criminal organization. Criminal. Now, here this guy is running for the United States Congress out of Ohio. Good for him. That's great. He's a Tea Party guy. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, philosophically, you could differ with the Tea Party, but there's nothing inherently immoral about that. Of course not. But I question the man's intelligence. I question his intelligence. I question, to be honest with you, I question more than his intelligence. I question whether this guy's got, whether everything's working up there. You remember that nut? Who was the guy, Robert, that was playing around with his intern?
You mean that guy with the tickling contest?
Yeah.
I forget his name, but he seemed like he was gay.
Well, he was kind of closeted. Remember him? Remember how off that guy was? Oh, Eric Massa.
Yeah, that's right.
That guy, Eric Massa, remember how he was mentally off? I think this guy's the same way. The House Republican number 2 leader, Eric Cantor of Virginia, he's a Republican, on Sunday said he repudiates Iott's actions and would not support someone who would dress in Nazi attire. His remarks on Fox News Sunday came after Democrat Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida cited Iott as an example of GOP candidates with extreme views. Iott said Cantor had no information or background about his reenacting. I don't need any, Mr. Iott. I don't need any background or information, you dumbass. I know you're wearing a Waffen-SS uniform. You're wearing the uniform of a war criminal. And you're talking about how cool it was that the German military took on the world? Anyway, when Cantor, what Cantor did, and this is Iott talking in a very defensive and defiant way. What Cantor did is exactly the illustration of why people are disgusted with politicians. He made comments and took a position that was good for him at the time, regardless of whether it was good for anyone else or good for the voters. What's that supposed to mean? What does that mean? Whether it's good for the voters, he's a Jew. He's a Jew, you idiot. You put on a uniform with lightning bolts on the collar, he's a Jew. He isn't going to like anything about that. Doesn't matter about your little reenactment, you stupid bastard. You're running for Congress to do what? What are you going to do?
Yeah, it's pretty stupid of the guy.
Stupid? Eric Cantor, a Jew, is supposed to understand you going out on a weekend with your box lunch and your friends, putting on your little SS uniform and lollygagging and gallivanting in the meadow like you're a soldier with the Führer's Viking division. Ayotte said he's been involved in reenactments on and off for roughly 35 years. He said he has dressed as an American soldier in World War I and World War II reenactments and frequently dresses as a woman as he walks down the streets of Ohio. I'm kidding. No, he, as well as a soldier from each side of the Civil War. Oh, how about that? Ayotte said he could not recall when he and his son joined the Viking group, but that was he was no longer involved, and never mind, and everything's good. Never in any of my reenacting of military history have I meant any disrespect to anyone who served in our military or anyone who's been affected by the tragedy of war, especially the Jewish community. Well, then why would you talk to a Jewish member of the United States Congress, Eric Cantor from Virginia, and talk about him as if he doesn't get it about what voters need or what voters want or what he wants or what you want or what anybody... Why do you talk like a blithering idiot? During the peak of his involvement in the early 2000s, Ayotte said he dressed up about half a dozen times a year at the most. Oh, that's all. Just six times a year is putting on them lightning bolts. He said he wore the Nazi uniform in battle reenactments, presentations at schools, and public events. Asked what he said while wearing the Nazi uniform in the schools, he said, "We talked about the atrocities that were committed. It was a horrible, horrible part of history. But we can't forget about it. Or, you know, sweep it under the rug. Because those who forget about history are destined to repeat it." This is very true, sir. So, while you are wearing your Waffen-SS uniform, don't you ever forget that. And don't you ever act like you're surprised that a Jewish member of Congress, or just any Jew, would say, "Geez, you know, I really don't dig that, because what you're wearing there makes me want to throw up." All right, 877-876-PHIL. Did Princess Leia do cocaine on the Empire Strikes Back set? In other words, did Carrie Fisher do coke on the Empire Strikes Back set? Did Carrie Fisher, as an actress in the 70s, actually do cocaine? Oh, my God. And an X-rated game of ring toss leads to a lawsuit. Plus, would you streak in front of the president for $1 million? Yes, one man did. 877-876-PHIL. PhilHenryShow.com for podcasts and a list of our affiliates. Check it out.
It's The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's what they did.
Did what?
That's how they reenacted it.
I'm trying to tell them, man, they're going to reenact that way.
That's one way they could have done it and been in it. If they want to be educational.
Oh, okay. So the guy goes, "Hi, welcome back, Phil Hendry Show." So the guy goes back. So what are you trying to tell me, man? This guy, we're talking about this Ayotte guy?
Yeah, that guy Ayotte. They'll go to class, they'll say, "Hi, I'm a Nazi, and... we're going to reenact how we've done it. Are there any Jews in the class?" Right?
And it, "Are there any Jews in the class?" Then what?
Yeah, he said. Then he said, "Put them in an imaginary barn and throw in hand grenades."
But that's the way to do it.
You know something, bud? Where do I begin with you, man?
Isn't that the way you reenact it?
You know what? If that guy's telling the truth, he did reenactments. Yeah, that's what you do. "Are there any Jews in the class? Here, we'll put you in an imaginary barn and throw in hand grenades."
Yeah. And then he said, "Oh, okay. And,
You don't even know what I said. I was planning it out, and I didn't say nothing.
Then he said, "Okay, are there any Jews in the class? Here, we'll put you in an imaginary barn and set it on fire."
Oh, that's great, man.
That's one way.
Oh, yeah, that's a great reenactment. You know, it is interesting. I don't know what this guy's reenacting in his Waffen-SS uniform. What are you reenacting, Ayotte? As in, Ayotte, idiot? What are you reenacting, man? I mean, are you going into a village and you're machine-gunning everybody at the fountain? You know, it's something out of that. What was that movie we saw the other night?
Yeah, that Spike Lee movie.
Yeah, that Spike Lee, that Miracle of St. Anna's. There you go. That was the Waffen-SS. Remember when they machine-gunned all those people?
Yeah.
That's what those guys were. Why don't you go into a barn and we'll set it on fire?
I said an imaginary barn.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. 877-876-PHIL. All right, now, this is goofy, man. Where is this ring toss? Oh, here we go. Listen to this. A woman says that a couple who own a hotel in Eugene, Oregon, I guess, that she worked for, encouraged employees to participate in a ring toss game on the husband's penis. The woman's name is Jessica Weber. She claims the owners threw a party at the hotel where the husband danced nude and masturbated publicly, and guests guessed the size and circumference of his penis, and his wife handed out sex toys as prizes for correct guesses. Now, Weber has sued the Markham Inn in federal court, alleging civil rights violations, sexual harassment, hostile workplace, and I don't know what this means, constructive termination. Do you know what that means?
I don't know. I have to look it up.
Yeah, never mind.
I'll find out, man.
Constructive termination. She says she worked for 3 years at the hotel owned by Ward and Julie Frederick until their outlandish behavior forced her to quit. A message left for the Fredericks of their business was not returned by the couple, and the people that were leaving the message, something called Courthouse News Service. I never heard of them. Have you?
Uh-uh.
I'll tell you why I'm saying this. It's because, well, I'll tell you why. Constructive means the employer made her quit because it had bad working conditions, harassing behavior, etc. Okay, thank you. Weber says that in December 2008, Julie Frederick showed her a letter from her husband promising to fulfill any sexual fantasy. Mrs. Fred, this is very weird, and I'll tell you something else. It's a lawsuit filed by this woman, Jessica Weber, which means you can put anything you want into a lawsuit. You can say anything you want in a lawsuit. And I want you to know one other thing. We're telling you this story, not hearing anything from the side of the couple. So I don't know anything about this other than it has very explosive terms and it's a very explosive charge. Is it true? I have no idea. Anyway, Weber says, this woman, Weber, who's filing the suit, said in December 2008, Julie Frederick showed her a letter from her husband promising to fulfill any sexual fantasy. Mrs. Frederick often talked about her sexual fantasies and asked the plaintiff and other employees for advice or suggestions, according to the complaint. On the 18th of April 2009, she says the Fredericks threw a private party at the hotel on a day when Weber was scheduled to work until 11 p.m. Mrs. Frederick said employees she had hired, told employees she'd hired a male stripper to perform as a practice run for a bachelorette party. What?
Man.
The Fredericks invited female employees, customers, and friends to the party, according to the complaint. Weber says that during her shift, Mrs. Frederick handed out a questionnaire to the plaintiff and others with questions relating to the genitalia of the male stripper and Mr. Frederick, including questions regarding... It goes on and on about the size of Mr. Frederick's penis and the circumference and this and that and something else. And you got to guess. And there were adult sex toys. And this was all at this freaking party that these two people are alleged to have thrown. This is the most incredible thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm not saying it's not true. It could very well. If it's true, then we have two people here who own a business who basically want to give it away. I mean, that's what they're saying.
Well, why do you say that?
Because if this is true, and these two people own this business, and they did what this girl alleged that they did, they want to just give the business away. I mean, I've never read anything more blatantly actionable.
Well, they're just having a party.
They're not just having a party. They got a woman there who works for them, who's been asked to stay for a party. Now she's looking at her boss dancing around with a jockstrap or whatever, or a thong, and now he's not wearing it, and now she's asked to guess the size of his you-know-what, and they have sex toys?
Yeah, but if she didn't like that man, she'd leave.
No, 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 my boy. It's not like that. You can't just assume you can leave a party on a day that you are supposed to be working till 11 p.m., Later, the male stripper arrived, but Weber says he was never completely nude. Weber says she left while the party was still in... Oh, she did leave, and she never went back. She's demanding $900,000. She's represented by Judy Snyder of Portland.
You know her?
Do I know? I don't know her.
I never heard of her either.
I don't know who she is.
Judy Snyder. Want me to look it up?
No, don't look it. I don't know who she is, Judy Snyder of Portland.
That sounded familiar.
I don't know who she is.
She worked on the O.J. case?
But I don't know who she is. No, she didn't work on the O.J. case. Judy Snyder of Portland on the O.J. case.
I thought I recognized it.
No, she didn't. All right, so anybody can put anything they want into a lawsuit. You understand that? We have yet to hear from the other parties involved here, Julie and Ward Frederick. Hey, honey, let's knock off early while I can dance around nude. So we'll figure it out. But that's the most blatantly strange, and that's why I think there's something up, man. Definitely something up with this story that ain't being told. Some conservative bloggers think a move by Campbell Soup is proof Islam is taking over in North America. PhilHenryShow.com is our website. Check it out. We'll be right back. You don't know her, huh?
Phil and
Judy Snyder. Judy Snyder. Will you forget Judy Snyder?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. If you head over there, we've got one, two, three brand new classic podcasts. Brand new classic podcasts that are available for download. And these are free of charge, my brother. How Do You Take Your Meat, Bone Master, and Golf Courtesy of the Marines. Yes, three classic podcasts. What are you looking at?
Man, you're going to get in trouble with a name like that. How you going about Bone Master?
That's the name of it. It's from a long time ago. We also have our uncensored pre-show rant, a new one, Conservatives versus Liberals, Part 600.
In a never-ending saga.
In the never-ending saga of trying to explain that mess. And then, of course, tonight after we get off the air, we will have our show log up there for you. And we have an enormous amount of classic shows that are archived, characters, other stuff, and, of course, our on-demand video, five-day video on-demand archive there, so you can watch tonight's show going all the way back to Monday the 4th, and then I think after tonight we'll move it up one. It's over there on philhenryshow.com. Now, Campbell's makes halal soups to comply with Islamic dietary laws, and conservative bloggers are all upset, and they're all in a tither. Earlier this year, Campbell, Canada. Well, there you go, see?
Yeah, the Canadian, man, that's not America.
Yeah, what are you getting upset about?
Well, that's something, you guys shouldn't get upset, that's Canadians. That's Canada, as Bud would say.
Right.
Campbell's Canada introduced a line of halal-certified soups. The 15 soups comply with Islamic dietary regulations, which, much like kosher regulations, prohibit certain foods and define the right way to slaughter animals. The line, which includes low-fat cream of broccoli and vegetarian vegetable, was certified by the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, which has been certifying halal foods since 1988. To some people, that's just more evidence that Sharia law is coming to North America, this time via the grocery store. One blogger, Scaramouche, you know, let me tell you something, and this is a talking points memo. Where the hell is this from? If you're citing bloggers, I don't care unless it's someone who is seriously heavy, like Ann Coulter, let's say. And you're just talking about some jive ass who's got a so-called conservative blog. I don't know that you're really getting an intelligent read on this thing, man. Don't you know we've got kosher foods? Hello? Some jackass named Robert Spencer who writes Jihad Watch. Well, what's that about, man? Anybody that's trying to tell me, and I believe me, if you've been listening to the show, man, I'm not one of these guys that's in love with hands across the water, and I want to see the mosque at ground zero oh so quickly, you just can't get it over there fast enough. You know where I stand on that, but I'm not ready to begin discussions on how to prohibit Islam. That's not the country I live in. Now, I know we got things like kosher foods. I also know that there are symbols on a variety of foods in the supermarkets of this country that indicate they are kosher. We have all kinds of foods for all kinds of people, so take a break. The group Tea Party Nation is on board. Never heard of them. They tweeted today, Campbell's now making Muslim-approved soups. Not good. That joke has been beat into the ground, said Ahmed Agab. I'm just kidding. He ought to, though.
Yeah. Stop, said the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. You beat it into the ground.
Right. You beat it into the ground. The group Park 51 opponent Pamela Geller is now calling for a boycott of Campbell's. I'm going to buy even more Campbell's. See how, this is the thing. You see how it's weird, man?
What do you mean?
I'm opposed to the Ground Zero Mosque, and yet I will not join their stupid boycott against Campbell Soups. I would venture to say that most of the people that are against the Ground Zero Mosque would also join in a boycott of Campbell Soup because they don't like Islam, because they don't get it. I don't know. A Facebook group created last Tuesday, that means there's, 3,500 idiots now, called Boycott Campbell Soup, already has 3,500 members. Members who leave messages like, "This is yet another example of just how dangerous creeping Sharia is to Western civilization, democracy, and all freedom-loving peoples. There are stages to the Islamization of the, you know, this is the same, I could write a blog. I remember when I was a little kid and they said the creeping socialism of America would sooner or later result in communism." Do you know how long that's been talked about? Do you know how long that's been talked about?
Yeah, but what do you mean how long it's been talked about? That's serious. That's not... You can't make a joke about that.
Yes, I can make a joke about that. These people that are talking about creeping Sharia law or Sharia or my Sharona, and these other cats that talk about, socialism and, you know, they talk about this stuff like it's a news flash, man. When I first heard people saying socialism, it's the first step toward communism, and you know, the communist, when I first heard that, I thought, this is the first thing I thought, haven't we been through that one already? I thought we got that one talked out. Are you telling me? I guess we didn't. I guess the talking out of that one was so flimsy that it didn't stick. Now we got a whole generation of people that are pitching that stuff again, man.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I'm telling you that stuff about socialism, that crap they've been talking about for as long as there's been a planet Earth.
That means they're like a caveman and everything like that. You're crazy.
Oh, will you grow up? I'm using a figure of speech, bud. I mean, it's not a figure of speech, but...
Like a metaphor?
Nah, it's not a metaphor. You know what I mean. When I was a little kid, and my dad would sit at the breakfast table and scream and yell about socialism and commies and Castro and all of that jazz, they thought the same thing. Khrushchev was going to... What was the thing they were afraid of? Khrushchev had been at the UN, and it was alleged to have said, "We will give you small doses of socialism till you wake up one day communist," right? One thing they didn't figure on was the wall came down in 1990. Ain't no communist Soviet thang no more. Oh, God. But we got to fight that war all over again because some dumbass picked that one up and decided, hey, this is one way to pull a 12-plus number, man. It's one way to get my show number one. I'll start trotting out the commie thing. And if that don't work, I'll get that Sharia law thing going. There's only one problem with all of that, folks. It bears no relationship to reality. None. There's no relationship to reality.
You know, I still say that communism is...
You can say it all you want. What reality is it?
Yeah, but what about if the more socialism come a communist?
It's bullcrap, man. It ain't gonna happen. Socialism, as a way of as an indefinite way of governing, can't happen in America for the very reason that we keep shifting political philosophy from one foot to the next. And the fact of the matter is, whatever people call socialism today, whatever that may be, we've come to embrace certain aspects of a social society. Republicans have, Tea Party people have, as well as Democrats. Okay, so we don't want to go down. We're going to make that argument again. All right? We got guys that are talking about even the Tea Party people are saying, "You're not going to do away with Medicare, are you? How dare you?" And then on the other hand, saying that, you know, socialized medicine. So their people are having a very difficult time marrying that old, broken-down argument about socialism. They're having a tough time marrying it to a modern political point of view. It's difficult. It's impossible. You wind up sounding like an idiot. "I don't want nationalized health care. What are you guys doing with my Medicare? I don't want socialism. How dare you, man? Social Security is going to be bankrupt." You can't say that with a straight face without people looking at you like you're the dumbest thing to come down the road.
Well, that's, you know, you can say what you want about Islam or the Islam, but communism, that's not, they don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is that right? Well, geez, I better be. Are you out of your mind? There is not going to be any communism any more than there's going to be Islamism. Fruit Loop. Just because some guy's changing the soup?
Yeah, but a lot of way, like back when they were coming, they said they should mess up with the water.
Maybe they'll get at us through the soup.
Maybe they'll get at us through the soup? That's fantastic, bud.
That is pretty funny.
Maybe they'll get at us through the soup.
You don't remember about fluoridation of the water?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember that. They're going to fluoridate the water? The commies were to get us through the water, but the Islamists, man, they're getting at us through the soup. You know, you want to know why I laugh? Because it's worthy of being laughed at. And no, I'm not afraid that someday I'm going to look like a jackass as I'm sitting there in jihad jail. No, I'm not worried that I'm going to look like a jackass someday if my wife or my girlfriend or my daughters have to wear burkas. No, I'm not worried about that happening. It will not happen. This is America. If there's one thing that ain't going to happen in America, it's some kind of a Muslim police state. Ain't going to happen. You want to know what's more likely to happen?
What?
What's more likely to happen is total anarchy. That's what people don't tell you. Everybody worried about a police state. The police state's not going to happen in America. The opposite is going to happen in America. If anything's going to happen in America, it is the complete opposite, and that is complete and total anarchy. That's everybody with their own point of view until nobody gets together about anything. That's what we're in danger of.
Wait a minute, man. Everybody knows about like a black helicopter and stuff like that.
What comic books do you cats read anyway, man?
I'm not reading a comic book. That's been a fear for a long time that are going to take away our freedoms.
Nobody's taking your freedom away, man. You're just as dumb as you used to be. You're free to be dumb all over the place. You too, Robert, and me too. Who's taking your freedom away? We got more idiots talking about more bullcrap than ever before. That's total anarchy. That's what I'm talking about. This country, I got no fear of any 1984 police state. I ain't worried about any of that stuff. Brave New World, that jazz. What I'm worried about, it's more like Mad Max. That's what you ought to be afraid of. You guys listen to the show tonight. If you want to get paranoid about something, get paranoid about that. You got all these jackasses talking about the totalitarian regime, man. It'll never happen. There's too many people in this country that are afraid it's going to happen for it to ever actually happen. All right, we got one. Speaking of a totalitarian state, look at this guy. He ran nude in front of the president. Naturally, he should be condemned to death, and he has. No, I'm kidding. His name is Juan James Rodriguez. He was arrested after he appeared in the buff at Obama's whatever the hell he was doing. The president was, he was in Philadelphia, and the president was giving an address in Philadelphia, and the president was wearing a dress in Philadelphia, and this guy ran nude in front of him. The president was actually trying to fire up a massive crowd in an outdoor rally in the city of brotherly love. Rodriguez wasn't protesting. He was just answering the challenge of British billionaire Alki David. Is that a nickname, like Alki David?
Yeah, like you drink too much?
No, it's A-L-K-I David, who promised $1 million to the first person who streaked in front of the president to promote his, Alki's, website. That is absolutely right. David, age 42, told the Daily News on Sunday night, "This is the first time anybody has attempted it. I still don't know if he was successful. If he's done it, I'll pay him in cash." In August, David issued the challenge on his website, battlecam.com, billed as an interactive reality TV channel and community. David said the commando-in-chief contest required participants to shout battlecam.com 6 times, have the name of the website written across his or her chest, and be within earshot and sight of Obama. He also suggested the stunt be done in a place where it is legal to be nude, but he did not make that a rule. I'm very clear about the rules, David said. There are none. No, he didn't see. He said, I'm still, waiting to get conclusive proof. You dirty, cheap creep.
Yeah, I bet he holds out.
You better pay him, Alki. Got the picture right here. I'm holding it up for our webcam fans. Juan James Rodriguez. There he is. And he had to have a sign that said some jazz. I don't know. Oh, yeah. He's got the guy's website right across his big fat gut. Actually, he's in pretty good shape. David said he was a very big admirer of Obama and did not want the contest to be construed as a protest against the president's policies. I like Obama. It's just a prank, he said. Now, Mr. Rodriguez, the guy that was streaking, had teamed up with Glenn Zolar and Joey Boots Bosolino to conduct the stunt. Oh, Joey Boots Bosolino. Now, he's a member of the Lucchese crime organization who also ran nude. I'm joking around. Please don't put out a, what do you call it?
Contract.
Yeah, contract on me. Anyway, Joey Boots Bosolino to conduct the stunt, which was apparently videotaped. David said Zolar and Bosolino are both regular guests on the Howard Stern Show. Aha! Zolar told the Weekly Standard that Rodriguez met all of David's contest requirements. He said that lousy cheap Jew had better... No, he didn't.
Oh, man, you got in trouble for that.
He didn't say anything like that. He said, kick in, and that's where it's at. So we'll see where the cat gets the $1 million, and the rest of us, you and me, we just get plastic drapes. All right. Are you an animal lover? Are you a pothead? Are you a fan of libertarian novels? Well, there's a dating site just for you. We'll tell you 11 weirdly specific dating sites coming up. PhilHenryShow.com. That's not a weirdly specific... Well, it sort of is a weirdly specific dating site. PhilHenryShow.com. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil
Henry. But you see that about them Jews and everything? And get that halal suit.
Shut up, man, while the thing's... You messed it up.
Oh.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, I went out, I actually saw a couple of movies this weekend. Secretariat, saw that. I liked it. I don't think it was as good as Seabiscuit, but the guy to watch in this Secretariat movie, which is about the great Triple Crown winner in 1973, Secretariat, three-year-old horse, and I saw Secretariat run in that derby. It was an amazing horse. Ronnie Turcotte was the jockey, and Lucien... The guy to watch in this movie is John Malkovich as Lucien Lauren. Lucien... Is that his name, Lucien Lauren? The trainer.
Yeah, it's Lucien Lauren and then a lady.
Yeah, he is great. I mean, John Malkovich is freaking wonderful. And then Diane Lane is... Man, is she good. She's not only gorgeous, she's just one hell of an actress. She's everything. And then Social Network, very good flick. I mean, really good flick. But you've gotten all of the reviews. You know how good it is. Although I'm not quite... I don't understand how the math worked out. I don't know why they screwed that one guy, Eduardo, what's his name, that Mark Zuckerberg kid. He wound up screwing one of his partners. I don't know why. And they make that Sean Parker, that Napster guy, boy, they look like... They make him look like the douchebag for the ages.
Really? What'd they do?
They just make him look like the scumbag that broke up a friendship, screwed a guy out of 35%, and brought on all these lawsuits, not to mention his bust for coke. So, anyway, check it out. All right. 11 dating sites for weirdly specific tastes. Dig this. A new dating site called Groupon, a spinoff of the popular coupon site. Oh, Groupon, yeah. It's courting singles who are eager to breed, offering a $60,000 trust fund to the first two children produced by couples who meet on the site. It's hardly the first dating site to rely on highly specific criteria. Groupon. Yeah, I know that. Here's one called Brits Please. Date British guys. This is the site. It offers Anglophile ladies the chance to find love with their very own David Beckham, Hugh Grant, Orlando Bloom, Jude Law, Sean Connery, Prince Harry, or Oliver Twist.
Really?
No. Number two, cat lover seeks same. Why be home alone with your cats when you can target other kitty lovers on personals.com? Get it? P-U-R-R.
Oh, yeah.
Where cat lovers greet and meet. Even if you're not looking for human-to-human contact, the site also acts as a social network for the feline-friendly. So if you just dig cats.
Yeah, what are you going to talk about with cat?
It's just if you dig cats. Number three. Good looks a must. Saggy boobs and nerdy glasses are discouraged at Darwin Dating, a site for beautiful a site for beautiful people only. Members rate the attractiveness of those wishing to join through, what else, a natural selection process. Pot fans only. Why Toke Alone asks 420 Dating, a site for those looking to get high on more than just love. Those simply seeking a place to buy weed should look elsewhere, say the founders. This site does not intend to be an information source for cannabis. Number five, wedding rings will be ignored. This is called, the site is called Ashley Madison, the world's premier discreet dating service. It's geared toward those in committed relationships looking to have an affair. With more than 7 million members, it seems to have found an audience. Good Lord. Animal magnetism a plus. You don't actually have to be a farmer to join Farmers Only, but it helps. Fans of blue skies, wide open spaces, and raising animals are welcome. If you prefer $4 cups of coffee, taxi cabs, and getting ahead at all costs in the corporate world, the site's not for you, say its founders. And I said during the pre-show, yes, you're right. If you're a farmer, Jack, what's the difference between you and the modern corporate executive? You know, even if a family farmer, you're trying to get ahead.
What do you mean?
They're trying to get out of here, bud. You don't think that farms have got a, you know, they're in the fast lane?
Farms are in a fast lane. Man, that's a good one.
They are. As recommended by your psychiatrist, No Longer Lonely is an online social community for adults with mental illness.
Yeah.
You kidding?
That's what it says. Potential users are encouraged to first consult with their psychiatrist or social worker. I hope so. College education required. The Right Stuff calls itself the Ivy League of Dating, limiting its members to single graduates and faculty of a select group of excellent universities and colleges. But with nearly 70 universities qualifying as acceptable alma maters, admission requirements are not exactly as rigorous as Harvard. Got the seven-year itch? Connect with singles who share your STD. I saw this called stdmatch.net. Well, what STD could you have other than herpes and HIV? You know, like if you're HIV positive, where you're like, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Libertarian fiction lovers only. The Atlasphere connects admirers of the Foundation and Atlas Shrugged. The site purports to have more than 12,000 profiles of affectionate Rand lovers. I bet you ain't never even read her. And then finally, to boldly go where no lovers have gone before for people that are into Star Trek. Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Charles Wagon. And our associate producer and screener is Dan Northcraft. PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry.